In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So, my dear brethren, the words in the Epistle and Gospel, they refer to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit. The Church is talking a lot about the Holy Spirit because Pentecost is not that far off. So this Holy Spirit that our Lord promises to send to his disciples once he's returned to the Father. Now this passage that we've read from the Gospel is actually part of our Lord's long discourse at the Last Supper. So he's about to, at this moment, execute his mission of redemption, and he's looking forward to the results. He's going to win for us forgiveness and a second chance. Excellent. And if we submit to him in baptism, then we will once more be able to walk with God as Adam did in the Garden of Eden. In other words, we'll retrieve the state of sanctifying grace. Now, throughout these passages and the various prayers and readings we have in the Masses after Easter, the Church is addressing herself in particular to the newly baptized. And she's reminding them today that they've died to their former lives and they've risen to a new one. So they've left behind something, and they've acquired, taken on a new life. So the world must no longer be their master and their mentor. It's God. They live only unto God, and God in the person of the Holy Spirit. So this discourse after the Last Supper pretty much finalizes the great revelation of the Blessed Trinity. So our Lord presents himself through his preaching, through his miracles, and then he starts talking of his heavenly Father. So he's presenting the person of the Father to the crowds, and now he's speaking in earnest of the Paraclete, of the Holy Ghost, who seems to be his equal. So it's the fullness of the revelation of the Blessed Trinity. Now, our Lord's redemption had only one objective, and that was to reconnect us with God so that God can teach us and nurture us with his divine life of grace. That's the goal of redemption, that we reconnect, that we find once more, that we be elevated once more to the state of sanctifying grace, the supernatural state of sanctifying grace. Eternity will not suffice to properly understand God's mysterious love affair with mankind. Because there's not much lovable about us. Anything that he loves, he's placed there himself. Just as two friends seek togetherness and communion, well, God seeks togetherness and communion with us. He seeks to draw us to himself and to share himself with us. And that sharing comes about through the sending of the Paraclete, also called the Consoler. So our Lord makes us ready, but it's the Holy Ghost that consummates the union of the soul with God. God came to us first in the second person of the Blessed Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord here is saying, well, now God's going to come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I need to leave. I need to leave. I need to leave in order to give place to the Paraclete. So our Lord's presence, his physical presence, revealed God to man, but it's a very limited revelation. So the incarnate person of our Lord, that which Saint John says our eyes have seen and our hands have touched, the child that came forth from the womb of Our Lady, That gives us a very, very limited revelation of God. Because the revelation is limited to the physical nature of our Lord's presence and teaching. And even when our Lord is preaching, there's only so much of the supernatural world that can be described with human words. And that's why our Lord always preached in parables and loved using metaphors. Because you can only really talk about supernatural realities by comparison, by analogy. There's nothing in the created universe that can properly circumscribe or describe uncreated realities. The Holy Spirit, however, is able to reveal God to us at a much deeper level. Without the use of words or intellectual concepts. And that's why our Lord says the Holy Ghost is going to teach you all things that I have taught you or tried to teach you, but using very limited language, words. And we see that the apostles' transformation at Pentecost, that shows the truth of what our Lord is saying. In an instant, they are transformed from frightened followers to apostles out to conquer the world. It was their Eureka moment. That was the action of the Holy Ghost, teaching at a much deeper level and transforming their souls thereby. Now, God shared himself with us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that sharing was limited. Just those who lived in Palestine at the time of our Lord. He shares himself with us in the person of the Holy Spirit in a much fuller sense and across the ages. When we look at Scripture, God's union with mankind is always described as a nuptial. So the soul becomes God's bride and is raised up thereby to equal status with its divine spouse. We become God consorts. Then there is the gift of each other, of each party, God to us to God, in a communal exchange of love, and that we call communion. Communion with God. And in that communion with God, we learn things about ourselves, how little we are, and more importantly, about God. How great he is and how loving and how merciful. So God expresses himself to us in the Holy Spirit through charity, through love, through communion and love. And love can express a lot more than mere words. Love is the language of the divine. And that's why St. John will define God as love, as charity. So that's what our life should really be all about. Communion with God. This ongoing conversation of love. Taking time to listen to God, what he might have to say to us, and then making an effort to speak to him and to share with him ourselves. So this communion with God, this constant exchange, which is really the destined result of baptism. We're baptized in order not simply to be freed from our sins, something much greater. We're baptized in order to commune with God. This communion with God through the Holy Spirit, that's the last phase of our redemption. It's the crowning achievement of creation redeemed. That's what Pentecost is, the descent of the Holy Spirit into the world. That's our Lord's crowning achievement. We say that the Holy Spirit is the expression and the outpouring of the Father and the Son's mutual love. So the Father and the Son, they invest everything they have and everything they are into their mutual gift of self. And the result, the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost proceeds both from the Father and of the Son. We confess this in the Nicene Creed. And the Holy Ghost is the expression of love of Father for Son, Son for Father. That result of the Father and the Son's mutual love is shared with us. It's the Holy Spirit, and it's given to us. So, my dear brethren, we have to think now about Pentecost and about preparing ourselves for this last phase of our redemption. We have Good Friday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. We're going to have the Ascension. That's a big, big step in this phase. But the consummation of it all is Pentecost. And Pentecost will last for eternity. Because it's the consummation of God and the soul's mutual love. So we should look forward to the feast of Pentecost as a spouse looks forward to her upcoming nuptials. Because God's going to renew his gift in us, if we're attentive. And he's going to teach us new things about himself and about ourselves. So that's how we progress in our faith and progress in virtue. It's through the Holy Ghost and through the action of the Holy Ghost in us. So we have to be aware of these things. We never really know where to place the Holy Ghost in our spiritual lives, in our round of devotions. You know, we're devout to Our Lady, we're devout to our Lord, that's really good. And the Holy Ghost, it's a puff of smoke. It's a bit like the incense at Mass. That's about as much as we think of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is just as much a divine person as our Lord. So, let's be devoted to the Holy Spirit as Our Lady was. And that's how she could be overshadowed by him and thereby conceive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.